If your battle plan's working, it's probably a trap. Welcome to the Regimental Vox, a podcast dedicated to all things Warhammer and wargaming in general. I am your host and Vox operator for the evening, Caleb Meyer. This is episode 71, and it is Tuesday, July 7th, 2020. Normally try to record on Mondays, but had some stuff come up that kind of, basically what it boils down to be perfectly honest, is I needed to sleep. So, we had a bit of a rough, evening Sunday night, namely, she did, admittedly, more than anything, because she was on call and it turned into a whole big mess, but it also resulted in me not sleeping as much. I stayed up too damn late as it was, and yeah, so, to be perfectly honest, that's just what it boiled down to with trying to fit in sleep versus work schedule became a bit of a pain in the ass. But either way, working on, you know, getting this recorded and out on time still all the same. It's even part of why I kind of planned to do the whole Monday recording when possible and then actually still releasing on Tuesdays was just so there was a little bit of leeway in case there were any issues with scheduling to still try and get an episode out on time. So, but anywho, let's go ahead and get into things. As far as my neck of the wood goes, once again, no gaming. Although, actually, I am considering picking up Tabletop Simulator on Steam to start scratching that itch a little bit to play some 40K. I know I have several friends that have been playing through Tabletop Simulator, and it's on sale still right now on Steam for the next couple days. For only $10, so something I am considering getting myself so that I still can. Her and I were actually going to try and fit in some form of gaming on Sunday. We were talking, I think it was Sunday, yeah, it was Sunday that we were going to try. We were debating between building stuff, playing some AOS / Warcry, or even trying out some Aeronautica Imperialis, because she hasn't tried that at all yet. Unfortunately, well, beyond the whole work thing too, diabetes was an absolute bitch to her. So when I'm whining about a lack of sleep, believe me when I say, you know, even though yesterday she was even talking about some stuff too, just saying it's not the oppression Olympics, but I'm still going to give her credit where credit's due and say my problems are nothing, in comparison to what she had to deal with Sunday night. So, yeah. So either way, we did have some modicum of gaming plans that got a little fucked up, so it did not happen, unfortunately. But either way, let's go ahead and move on, though, for right now. There's not a whole lot of new stuff. Well, there is a lot of new stuff, but the problem is it's all new stuff waiting for the release. There's a lot of things that have already been covered verbatim and over again too on the community page, and they even have the core rules available for free download already and so on and so forth. So gonna try and reserve like a bigger, more detailed episode on the rules and whatnot for when that comes out. They might try to do something a little bit in advance, though. Pre-orders on that will be starting, though, this Saturday, the 11th, for Indomitus. So it will be out on the 25th. So obviously, after that's out, I will plan to do an episode deep diving further into all the 9th edition goodies. But probably we'll do... might still do an episode over the free core rules here in the near future, if there's anything that was missed that we've, previewed so far. Which does remind me, I did want to make a correction about something I had talked about on last week's episode, regarding 9th edition rules. Last week, there was, while I was in the middle of recording, they released a faction focus that was discussing the unit coherency rule. And I mentioned on the episode that I didn't quite understand why that was such a big fucking deal. It's the way the rules are written. They're written concisely, but until you actually have like a diagram in front of you, it can take a little bit of interpretive dance, so to speak, to figure out what the fuck are they trying to get at here? Why is this such a big deal, you know? But I believe on last week's episode, I may have just kind of even said as much, like, I don't get why this is such a big deal, but apparently it is. So with the new unit coherency rule, if you have six or more models in a unit, every model has to be within at least 2 inches of two models in the unit, not just one model in the unit for coherency purposes. And the new coherency rules are no longer, if you break up the squad, just the next time you have to move, you are forced to move them to be coherent. Okay. You know, whatever. That doesn't seem like a big deal. Even with the whole fact that dudes can die now instead from a lack of unit coherency, as opposed to just being forced to move, it still seemed like, all right, well, with these new rules, it doesn't seem that hard to keep them coherent. But there is a very important distinction here. So somebody had drawn up a diagram that basically had, and there was a lot of different names for this: dog bone, bow tie, so on and so forth. But basically, like, take a squad of any size above six, essentially. We'll just, for argument's sake, we'll just say you have a squad of 20 guys. You know, we'll just say a squad of 20 troops. Basically, in order to make sure everybody's within 2 inches of two models, all you have to do is put a triangle on one end, triangle on the other. You know, and make sure all three of those models are within 2 inches of each other. And then you have a line strung between them of everybody 2 inches apart. That way every single model is within 2 inches of each other. And I was just thinking, I don't see why that's a big fucking deal, because if I lose a guy on either triangle, I'm still fine, because that, you know, the guys will be within 2 inches of two models. But I wasn't thinking until I saw it visually that if you lose even one dude on either end, yeah, the triangle, or I guess it's kind of hard still to even say it out loud, but imagine, if you will, if a triangle had like the tail, you know, representing the line. So let's say you got four models, just to make this, you know, break it down a little bit here. Yeah, one model up top, we'll call him A, and then you have B is the, you know, B is to his left, C is to his right, and then D is to the right of C. Essentially, if you're looking at a piece of paper, all of them within 2 inches of two models, that triangle, and then D being the start of the line that goes towards the other triangle. Well, if you lose like B or A, you know, let's say you lose A. All right, well, B and C are still within 2 inches of each other, and, you know, D then presumably is also within 2 inches of the rest of the line, blah, blah, blah. But B is now hanging out on the end, so he gets removed because he's no longer coherent. But then C is no longer coherent, so he gets removed. And then D is no longer coherent, so he gets removed. So if you create a line of troops with these two triangles, like bow tying, once again, as it's been described, in between, the moment you lose anybody in that squad, the whole thing comes apart, because one guy at a time becomes incoherent. So it just boom, 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 they just keep pulling them out. So you could say have a squad of 20 guys, you lose one guy to shooting. But because you have it laid out with that stretched out line, you will actually lose all but five guys, because once you get down to five guys in a squad, then it can be the normal coherency of you know, the be within 2 inches of at least one model in the squad. You know, yeah, that's a majorly big fucking deal. You have to be very careful if you're using anything. Well, anything above min size squads, and even then, some armies the minimum sizes are still above, or six models are above, for certain squads. So, yeah, definitely take care and pay attention when you are placing your models around the board. Make sure that you have some redundancy. You know, a lot of people have said, okay, well, now you just got to double line it, and that's fine. You know, I don't think the intent is to make the rules super complicated for the way that you stay in coherency. I think it's more to just cut down on, you know, the giant daisy chain conga line style of spreading one unit out across the board, just so it can have be in a state of like, you know, deep strike denial and shit. But yeah, so I, like I said, I did want to correct that. Anyway, let's move on here. Like I said, this Saturday pre-orders will start on the Indomitus box set. That will be here in the States, $199, apparently. So yeah, they've been I'd seen rumored and stuff, the estimated value of the box. I don't know if this is still true or not, because it was a total estimate at the time. This was just before they announced the price. But the estimate of the value of everything was around, I want to say, $835 for everything that's in the box. And then GW themselves has said that they're limiting the boxes to six per person. And that, you know, they kind of, in a coy fashion, alluded to basically that if you buy six boxes, you would have a little over 5,000 points worth of Necrons. So basically, in turn, you know, you're looking at a little under like 850-ish, roughly. Somewhere around that rough ballpark. And that's, mind you, they said a little over 5,000. That could be 5,001. That could be 5,100 points. Lord knows exactly what they mean until we actually see all the new points values and everything else. 833 points. I just did the math there. 833 points of Necrons in one box. So that's, you know, that's definitely a not insubstantial amount of stuff there, especially when you consider it's got two armies in the box. Don't know the points values on the Marines themselves there that are included, but you know, I would hope that they're at least roughly equivalent. Generally speaking, the armies that come out of these box sets are non-equivalent in points values by quite, you know, quite the margin, typically even too. They're more kind of meant to be played with the campaign books or whatever that are included with them. They're not necessarily balanced for tournament play, etc., etc. But yeah, either way, you know, even if one was to say, we could just say that they're both roughly equivalent, you've got two 800 point armies in a box right there. You can literally open the box, build them, and play full size games. Full size games in terms of like combat patrol and stuff, where there's still legal sizes that are included with the rules. But once again, we won't know exactly till we get those boxes. But still, when you think about it, though, $835 value, roughly estimated, and then at least for the Necrons, probably somewhere around 850-ish, give or take, points value army, possibly roughly the same for the Marines. All of that for $200, plus the rules and everything else. It's definitely an impressive deal. So definitely something worth checking out. They are going to have available for pre-order as well on the same day. There will be limited edition core books, which just right offhand, it looks like they're just going to be, you know, fancy cover and nice paper. And I'm not saying that it's not cool. But it's up to you whether that's going to be worth whatever the crazy dollar amount is going to be on that. I wouldn't be surprised if getting the limited edition book costs as much as buying the whole damn box set. And personally, I'll take the whole damn box set with all the models. You know, even if your intention wasn't to keep the models, you could just sell the models and pretty much get the book you're getting out of it for free. But I also don't recommend doing that because it's kind of an asshole move to just buy these things just so you can turn around and flip them. I actually saw earlier tonight even, too, I saw someone who had the Ephriel Stern limited edition box set for Demonifuge. And they had it up for $400. And it's like, man, you literally just bought that so that you could go, haha, I'm going to turn around and flip the shit out of this. I mean, it was $150, if I remember correctly, $150 box set to begin with. So, I mean, it already was expensive. But $400, you literally just bought this just so you could flip it, and you're kind of a dick now. So, moving on. They're also going to have available for pre-order the Open War cards for the mission packs and stuff. I used to think that the data cards and war cards and all that stuff was just kind of a silly thing until I actually used stuff like that. They're a really helpful gaming aid overall. I highly recommend that sort of stuff, actually, particularly for Age of Sigmar. I cannot stress enough how much having the War Scroll cards is way, way easier than trying to fuck around with the app or trying to lug around the books. I still think you should have your books on hand, and having the app is handy and stuff, don't get me wrong. But War Scroll cards are way easier to use. And then they can help you, too, with just trying to remember, like, your order of play and things of that nature. I've actually, Krista has used her War Scroll cards before, where she actually has them, like, stacked in a specific order, so that she goes through each card to, you know, in each phase, basically, to try and remember, okay, I haven't moved this guy yet, so, you know, she'll start moving that, and then she'll flip the card to the next one. Just, like, you know, you can use them in a lot of different ways, but they can be handy, just as little reminders of, did I move this unit yet, yes or no, and so on and so forth. So, but yeah, obviously these are different type of card, but my point is that all of these types of things do actually kind of help, I found, to help make the games go a little faster, a little smoother and stuff. So, moving on here, we also have the chapter approved split into the two different books. The Munitorum Field Manual with all the new points values as they have been adjusted for 9th edition. Very curious to see how those turn out. There was a leak actually last week, I think it was, that for the Space Marines Codex, I don't think it included the new models, now that I think about it though. Because all of a sudden it just occurred to me, oh wait, we can figure out those new models cost points wise, but I don't think they were on there. I'd have to look it up again. Anywho, point is that, you know, GW had talked about that they were changing points and pretty much raising them across the board, which I thought was an interesting move considering all of 8th edition kept moving downwards in points values. So I thought that was kind of interesting that now we're going the reverse direction. Especially since, you know, the cheaper points everything costs, the more models GW can sell. But there was definitely a sign with 8th edition that having points too cheap was slowing games way down, and also just massively imbalancing things. So, you know, I just, overall, I agree with the concept. But what we saw in this leak was that while quite a few of the units had gone up in points, the weaponry for a lot of them had gone down. If I'm remembering correctly, that was the way that they had done it. So a lot of them actually ended up balancing out to be pretty much the same what they were before. So I don't know. We'll have to see once we actually get them in our hands and see what's, well, you know, what's officially the points values for everything. But yeah, it was just kind of interesting that it's like, okay, yeah, you did, you know, you did raise the costs of everything across the board for these models, or most everything, but then you lowered their cost of their weapons so much that they, you might as well have done nothing different. So it could just be a marketing ploy on their part. Who knows? Then we also have the Crusade Journal. This is something I'm curious about. I just don't know, like, don't get me wrong. I want to support the hobby, and I want to support GW. I know one would say, well, you don't need to support a giant corporation. Well, yes, I do. If I want them to keep making the shit that I love, then they need money. That's kind of how business works. So, but yeah, the Crusade Journal also just seems like something you could print off of, like, Microsoft Excel or something like that and make your own very easily. So we'll see. I'm sure lots of people will end up doing that. I'm sure there'll be resources within a week after 9th edition launches, if not sooner than that, with people's own homebrewed Crusade journals. So we'll have to see. I'm curious what it's going to actually end up looking like and cost wise and stuff, but personally I highly suspect that I'll just, like I said, just do the same thing of going and finding a homemade version or make my own. So they also have a new Battle Zone being released, the Battle Zone Manufactorum. It does show that you can, right off the bat, use it to play combat patrol or incursion games. If you get two of them, you will have a large enough play area for Strike Force games with 2,000 points, which is what most people tend to play. So, you know, with the new changes on the table sizes, it may not actually be a bad idea to have these, you know, pre-made mats and stuff. I mean, pre-made mats are nice to have in general, but these ones in particular, obviously GW's got these new game sizes that they're going for that will give you something right out of a box you can use. That being said, if you already have, you know, a preferred game mat or whatever else, you could just keep using that, and still, you can still totally play it at 4x6. You don't have to play it now on these new sizes. They're all minimum sizes. But if you're looking to play on the minimum sizes specifically, this is a nice option. They also have some new objective markers being released. They're pretty cool. I suspect that they're going to cost more than they're really worth, because they're literally just little tiny decorations basically for the battlefield. But I think they would be useful to have. Once again, there's a lot of things that I used to be, well, why would I do this when I could just put coins down or put dice down? It definitely adds flair, for starters. But more to the point is just having gaming aids are useful. Now, that being said, you can buy objective markers and stuff from various manufacturers. I think Hammerhead Games makes some. I know the Honest Wargamer was making some for Age of Sigmar. So on and so forth. There's a lot of smaller businesses where you can get cheaper objective markers if you're looking for something less, you know, less esoteric and outlandish looking, and more something functional looking. So, as usual, too, they also have the usual combat gauge, which I've never used one personally, but I've heard are rather useful to have. So. We've got some new paints coming out. There's going to be a new technical color, Tesseract Glow, which is supposed to give you that green Necron Glow color. Curious to see how that will work, actually, since it is a technical paint, whether it'll actually have a natural glowing hue to it or not. There's going to be a new shade to go with it. Well, it doesn't go directly with it. Well, maybe it does. I don't know. But Cryptek Armor Shade Gloss? Glow? I don't know. It's cut off there. But then there's a new layer and new base paint. The layer is Canopic alloy, and the base is Rune Lord brass. So, and they're going to be releasing a spray version of Rune Lord brass, it says, later in the year. Lastly, we got new books coming out with this whole Indomitus launch, too, including, that's right, Indomitus the Novel. Yeah, nothing much more to say about that. It's a book based on what you're about to buy and play. So that's about the ins and outs of that. Moving on here, they do right now have for pre-order the General's Handbook 2020 for Age of Sigmar. That will be out this Saturday, the 11th. So yeah, the day that pre-orders start on Indomitus. So yeah, you'll get all those points updates. There will be points updates and stuff available too. It says through the if you use Azir, the Age of Sigmar app, that will be updated with points as well. That's going to take a little bit longer, it says, though, because of the releasing the Warhammer 40,000 app. Which, admittedly, I don't know if I've mentioned that in the previous episodes or not, but they are going to make an app kind of similar to the Age of Sigmar one for 40K. So, that'll be really nice to have when that comes out. Hopefully it's rather useful anyways. I will say I have mixed feelings even about the Age of Sigmar app as it is, although I've never used Azir, the paid one, but using the free one, I love the concept, and it still gives you something to work with, but it does leave something to be desired, which is probably on purpose, so that you'll go get the paid one. But like I said, never use it, so I don't fucking know. So, alright, let's see here, what else we got? Right now there is a book bundle available to purchase, not through Humble Bundle this time, it's through Fanatical, which I've never purchased anything from personally, so... But I wouldn't think if GW's partnered up with them that they've got to be legit. I'm sure there's somebody, or probably everybody listening to this, which is all three people, maybe? I don't know. But I'm sure all of them will think I'm dumb. Like, somehow Fanatical is, like, the best thing ever, and everybody loves it, and I'm dumb for never having really heard about it. But I doubt it. So, but yeah, that being said, it's a pretty good deal. Overall, I was trying to remember how many books it was the other day. There's three different tiers. Tier 1 has 6 books included, Tier 2 has 8, and Tier 3 has 12. So, 26 books. But, obviously, like Humble Bundle and stuff, if you buy Tier 2, you'll get both 1 and 2. Buy 3, you get all 3, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, let's see here. Actually, you know what? Let's go find out how much we're looking at pricing wise. Yeah, so even tier 3 for 26 books is $17.50. Obviously ebooks. But yeah, it says they're worth $284.74, so kind of like Indomitus, if you're looking to save some mad money but get a lot of stuff in the process, there you go. So, there's some pretty good things on there too. There's many books that I've read already, admittedly, but there's a lot of them that I haven't, and there's one in particular that I've really been wanting to read. So, that might be something I consider. For me personally, Tier 3 is the only one I don't really have. Well, let me take that back. I was going to say Tier 3 is the only one I don't have any real interest in. I'm actually mainly just want Tier 2, and that's because it has the largest selection of books that I either have not read, but also that I'm also interested in too. The tier one stuff, I do like Age of Sigmar. I'm just not really that interested in reading the books that much, to be perfectly honest. Although I should give it a little more credit. I am kind of thinking in terms of back when Age of Sigmar first started, the story was so garbage and pretty much non-existent that it was just hard to want to read anything about it anyway, so I should probably give it a fair shot again and try out some newer books from that, you know, for that game. But yeah, Tier 2 has Let's see here. There's only three books on Tier 2 that I have read in any capacity. And then there's one in particular, Requiem Infernal, that I've really wanted to read. So, but Tier 3, it's not because Tier 3 is not good, but, like, I've read almost all of it. In fact, looking at this now, I think there's only two out of it that I have not. But it's a great selection of books if you've never read any of the Horus Heresy books. It's got, let's see here, 9 of the 12 books in Tier 3 are from the mainline Horus Heresy book series. And then there's 3 that are from the Primarch series specifically. So definitely a lot of good stuff. Like I said, pretty cheap too overall. So I would say it's worthwhile even if you just want a couple of the books. Anyway, let's see what else we got here in the pipe. Alright, so they did announce, this was earlier today, I believe, pre-order bonuses for pre-ordering Indomitus. Now, I think you have to get this through Games Workshop or possibly through like a Warhammer store. I don't know if these pre-order bonuses apply if you go through an independent retailer or not, even though I know most of the people that will be listening to this are going to buy it from independent retailers. It may possibly be something that sways you one way or another. They are going to have some objective counters and dice bag that you will get for free with the pre-order. And then there's also a launch celebration coin. So if you like weird collectible coins, there you go. One side for the Ultramarines, one side for the Necrons. So it's kind of cool, I guess. But the big thing that's important to note, as a note, I do see here that it does specify Warhammer stores will have these items. It does look like it's, they don't blatantly state it's only available from GW directly or through the Warhammer stores, but they also specify go to Warhammer stores to get it. So, I would say that just by default infers that. Anywho, they did, however, I missed this earlier today when I was reading this, they did change it so you can no longer buy 6 boxes. They are limiting it to 3 boxes per person. So, something important to keep in mind if you were looking to build, you know, a huge army of new, you know, out of just the new models for either force. That is going to be a bit of an issue for you. And also, if you are a prick who likes to scalp the shit out of shit, fuck you very much, and unfortunately you won't get very many copies. So, and I'm okay with that, because you're a cock. Anywho, they did this weekend, though, show off some pretty cool stuff regarding Indomitus. They had this big old Indomitus face-off battle thing. I did get to check out a little bit of it over the weekend, and it was kind of cool. It was kind of weird, too, admittedly, but it was cool in its own way. But they basically just did these weird one-off fights where, for example, the first fight they did was the Assault Intercessor Squad in the box versus the 20 Necron Warriors in the box. And, yeah, they had it set up, if I'm remembering correctly, they did have them actually set up on a table and across from each other, but I don't remember how far spaced out they were and stuff. I think they were set up close enough so that they could get into charge range pretty easily and stuff. But they did them in, like, 3 rounds, where round 1, the Ultramarines would go first, round 2, Necrons would go first, then round 3, there was an initiative roll-off. Which, I mean, doesn't really change much of anything. If you think about it, having the initiative roll-off just, you know, if Necrons won on round 2, then there's a pretty decent sized chance that they'll win on round 3 from the roll-off. But either way, although I should say that they did point out in at least one of the fights that was not the case. Actually, Anybody whose turn it was to go second won in one particular case, which was kind of weird. But yeah, so they have all the data sheets available for all these models that were involved in these fights, available on the Warhammer community site. So you can go check that shit out if you want. But yeah, I'm trying to remember which ones it was in particular. I think it was that with the Overlord? Oh, no, it was the Judiciar and the Scorpec Lord. That Scorpec Lord apparently just obliterated the ever-living fuck out of the Judiciar. I don't know why I can't pronounce that word right now. I'm like, my tongue is like five times too big for my mouth. But yeah, he got annihilated, I think 2 out of the 3 rounds, just total curb stomp. So, there's definitely some, outside of these models looking really badass, there's a lot of power behind some of these new models that are included in Indominus as well. But the super cool part about the preview they did on Saturday was not the really bizarre one-off, you know, fights in a vacuum sort of things that don't really tell you actually what the capability of a unit really is when you think about it. But rather, instead, they showed off some new models. That was the exciting part. They showed off 4 new models, and I would say 2 of them were, yeah, I mean, they're cool, I guess. And 2 of them were holy fuck. So as far as the, you know, somewhat cool-ish, they did show off a new Primaris Tech Marine, which, admittedly, it was something that was kind of missing from the Primaris line that they really could have used. So that, you know, I do agree that it was kind of something the new Primaris needed to have added in. And I mean, eventually, I think we're going to see all of the current Space Marine stuff, the old Space Marine stuff, be completely phased out for the Primaris. But this is definitely a stepping stone in that direction. The other part was less exciting yet. The Chaplain on a bike. It's cool that they're bringing bikes to Primaris. I did see somebody made a meme just basically pointing out the fact that, yeah, you got a Chaplain on a bike, but the Primaris Corsaro Khan is still on foot, which is fucking weird. And I highly agree. It is absolutely fucking weird that they chose to go that route. But the cool shit was the new Necron shit. They did show off in full the Silent King model. And it's a ridiculously badass looking kit. It's got a couple of these weird floating shield thingies that nobody really knows what they are, but they're cool looking. And then the Silent King himself on this floating altar that's flanked by what looks like, you know, two cryptics, admittedly, that are flanking him. And then the whole thing's powered by some, shard, that's, all suffering and shit. So that's pretty cool. But the really super badass thing is the Void Dragon. Now, mind you, we had seen a picture that GW put out a few weeks ago that had the Void Dragon and the Silent King in the picture, but they were kind of off in the background. It was smaller, you know, so we didn't really see them in full. And even then, we knew that what they were when we saw them, but they didn't blatantly state that they were those things, even though everybody did already. You just knew. But yeah, the new Void Dragon model, holy fuck, it's a weird looking model, but I say that in the best ways possible. It is a really badass, cool looking thing. He's basically kind of some sort of, for lack of a better way of putting it, kind of some weird Necron angel looking thing of a sorts. But what's really cool is his body is like either being put together or coming apart or just changing. Block by block in parts of him, so it's this weird pixelated type effect in certain parts of his skin. Any description I could provide does not do this model justice. You just got to check it out. Overall, all the new Necron shit is crazy looking. Between all the stuff that's in the Indomitus box, they've showed off a few extra new models that are not coming in the box, like the new destroyers and stuff like that. Those look amazing. The Silent King and Void Dragon, amazing. They also, what was the other thing? Even just the new release for the Illuminor Zaris model and stuff is just really badass looking shit. And the new terrain pieces too. They did show off some new terrain pieces alongside that Hammerfall bunker. That for whatever reason, a lot of people have got their panties all up in a twist over the fucking bunker, saying that it just looks stupid. There was one person who had said that it just doesn't look like it would survive any form of entry in any atmosphere. And that I don't disagree with. I understand suspension of disbelief. This is a sci-fi fantasy, blah, blah, blah. But there still has to be some degree when you know blatantly that there's just no way in hell anything like that could possibly fall through an atmosphere and stay in one piece. It makes it a little harder to, it's just too much of a stretch at that point. But you know what? Fuck it. You know, none of us play these games for realism. We play them because they're badass as fuck. And giant bunker covered in flamethrowers and missiles falling out of the sky and just blasting away sounds pretty badass to me. So, now, that being said, too, as far as the terrain stuff goes, the picture they show on the community page of the Silent King does have a thing in the background. It could just be an illustration someone threw together, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's some other new terrain piece that GW is going to put out. Since they've got this whole big terrain kick going on. We'll see, I guess, in the long run whether or not that's actually a thing that they release or not. So, but yeah, now like I said earlier in the episode, I'm not really going to go over any of the 9th edition stuff, like as far as rules and things of that nature goes yet. Not in this episode anyways. I will be probably in the next episode or the week after that. Kind of going over the new free core rule set, step by step. Obviously, once again, we've already had the previews, that were, taken out of that, rule set, showing stuff off. And even then, the core rules don't have, all of the things that they've been talking about as far as the major selling points for 9th edition. So, we will obviously reserve doing a full 9th edition review until I can get my hands on the rule book, the actual official one, because that will show you, in totality, how good or bad this is. Because some rules might seem kind of meh when they're just in a vacuum, but then when you combine them with the other core free rules, they might seem better or worse. And then when you combine them with the actual full rule set, it might be better or worse yet still. So, But overall, like I said, there's a lot of new things to look forward to. I'm definitely excited, with all these pre-orders coming up here. A lot of amazing value that you're looking at, too, particularly that Indomitus box, which, once again, is apparently now limited to 3, which, whatever, that's for me, that's no big deal. I just want one. And I think that's part of why GW is trying to do this. There's just too many people out there who keep buying up all these, limited box sets and crap and then turning around and flipping them. And it's just not fair to the hobby. And in turn, it also just doesn't, GW's bottom line is fine either way, as far as the sales on Indomitus. But think about it this way. If a bunch of people have to really want these box sets, let's just break it down here. We'll say that you got people who have a $1,200 budget, I don't know how many people have $1,200 budgets going around, but if they're just doing this $1,200 budget and that's all they got money for, and we'll say all all three of these people really want to get their hands on Indomitus. I should say 1,200 total for this purpose. But yeah, they could, all three of them, go buy the $200 box set. And GW gets their money from that. And then they all got an extra $200 that they can go ahead and spend towards other models and whatnot. So GW gets $1,200 out of that. But if all three of these people really want to buy Indomitus and all the copies are gone because they all got bought up by a bunch of dumbass scalpers who are flipping them online and selling them for double price at $400 a piece, then that's all these people buy. GW gets the $200 from the initial sales. The scalper, who is an asshole, gets an extra $200 from all the sales, and that is it. So GW got $600 as opposed to $1,200. Now, obviously, it's not that simple, but in basic, what it boils down to is that it's in GW's best interest to not promote assholes, you know, scalping the shit out of their limited edition shit. You know, it is in their best interest long term. Short term, of course, they're not going to give a fuck. They sold copies of the box either way. That's that. But if more hobbyists have more money to spend towards other GW products as well, then, because they didn't have to spend all their extra money on fucking scalpers, then that's potential to have more business. Plus, it just provides a better experience for hobbyists as a whole. If you have to hunt down some box set that you should have been able to buy, but you couldn't because of dumbasses buying them all up, that's just going to create a lot of feel-badsies where even if you end up having the money later, you may not want to buy, you may just decide not to buy Indomitus at all at that point, and then maybe possibly not to get into the hobby, you know, or decide if you're already in the hobby to jump out because you don't feel like dealing with these assholes who keep doing this shit. So, moral of the story, don't be a dick. Don't buy a bunch of copies of Indomitus and try to flip them, please. That's just not fair, and it's just shitty to the whole community, so. But I think I'm going to call it a call at that for today. As always, you can follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/theRegimentalVoxPodcast. You can follow me on Twitter, at @RegimentalVox. And, of course, you can hit me up on Patreon, patreon.com/theRegimentalVox. You know, donate $1, $5,000, $10 million, whatever you want. You know, pretty simple. So, but thank you guys for listening. I will catch you all in the next episode. This is Caleb Meyer signing out for the evening. Have a wonderful weekend.